Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome inside WOKV Jaguars Central for a Wednesday night edition of Jaguars This Week, presented by our friends at Aetna. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman's here, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman alongside. Joe Fortunato's taking your calls and adding his quips and contributions as he may. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us, 355-6351. Big news around the NFL late this afternoon is that Alabama offensive tackle Andre Smith had a horrid workout for pro scouts today. What they're saying is 19 reps of 225. This is a big, powerful man now. You'd think he'd get, listen to Loggy.
I did that.
Yeah. Ran a 5.28 and a 5.33 in the 40. And when he had his shirt off, and I'm quoting now, the flab and rolls on his body were evident. So Andre Smith had a terrible workout, which probably is one of the reasons why the Jaguars went and grabbed Trey Thomas earlier this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's clearly not a top 10 pick, which means that he will clearly not be the Jaguars pick. Well, I don't know if I should say clearly, but how can you spend a eighth pick of the draft on a guy who has had a terrible postseason, didn't play the bowl game because of an agent situation,
right,
where he was suspended. But here's the big one. He not only left the combine prematurely before he did any of his work, he left without telling the NIC, the National Invitation Camp people, without telling the combine officials that he was leaving, which put them in a tough spot because they are responsible for the player's safety. They don't know if the guy is out lying in a gutter somewhere dead. I mean, there was a lot of concern for his safety at the time. So if you're a coach, right away you have to ask yourself, if he'll walk out on them, will he walk out on me?
Right. And this is a year that the Jaguars are looking for good guys in their locker room.
Right.
And I think you found that out when you interviewed him on video for Jaguars.com. I'm talking about Trey Thomas.
Yeah.
One of the first things that stands out is this is not only a good football player, but a good guy. And he joins us now from Stetson, where you're going to throw out the first pitch tonight, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to try not to embarrass myself and hold it across the home plate.
I saw those old long arms now. I'm going to guess that you can almost reach. You have no problem whatsoever, big boy.
Yeah, I'm just going to lie. I just wanted to be able to have to catch it and not have to scoop it off the ground.
Trey, congratulations, Jeff Loggeman. Welcome to Jacksonville. I guess it's not welcome because you're from the land.
Yes.
But tell us how the process went, because when you first kind of were seen at the stadium, it was reported that you just basically walked in the door and said, "Hey, Trey Thomas, I'd love to play in Jacksonville, Florida." Tell us what happened.
Well, we had like a casual meeting.
Get started, though? I mean, did you call
agent,
up?
No, yeah, my agent had called. My agent called the GM there, and he called and the offensive line coach, and we both, and they talked, and then they set up. I was already down here in Florida, so he set up a meeting for me to come up, and I drove up the night before. We had a 10 o'clock meeting at Starbucks, and you know, we sat down and talked for a little bit, and it went very well. And then after that, my agent just they stayed in contact with my agent, and you know, and they worked everything out, and, you know, I came up Monday and we signed.
It's got to be a good feeling to be able to be at this point in your career and to be able to be close to home.
Yes, it is a good feeling. You know, that was one of the things that I wanted to do. You know, if you didn't sign me back, I didn't want to go somewhere all the way across on the West Coast. If Philly didn't bring me back, then I wanted to come back to Florida, and it was just good that Jacksonville felt that I was a good fit for them.
Well, and one of the questions that, you know, all of the fans obviously want answered first, because this is the most important thing on their mind: can you still play?
Can I still play? Let's see.
Yeah,
let's look at all my games.
I know you can, but I mean, that's what people want to know. I mean, people are saying, can Trey Thomas still play at a reasonably high level?
Well, sure, they want to know why the Eagles let you walk.
Okay, well, I gave, you know, coming from my program that we came from Philadelphia, just to give you an example, during the regular season game, you know, we passed 70-80% of our plays, and I only gave up 2 sacks for the entire season, so for the regular season. So I think that speaks for itself, can I still play? And that's going against DeMarcus Ware, Abraham, you know, OC didn't play this year, but I can't think of my man's name from
Strahan.
New York. You know,
Michael Strahan.
I wasn't playing against some slouch players. You know, I was playing against some of the top pass rushers in the league. So I think that should answer if I could still play or not.
Yeah, because, I mean, I mean, obviously offensive linemen, I mean, the career span is not 10 years and then throw them away.
Well, here's why Jeff is asking that question, because we're all asking it, because left tackle is a premium position, and guys who are 6'7", 320 pounds, and are built
three-time
away.
Pro bowlers, right.
Yeah, yes, exactly, and 34 is not too old. You know, why isn't there a greater demand, you know, for somebody such as yourself, Trey? And I think you had a good answer the other day. You said that there aren't a lot of teams in this league who have a vacancy at left tackle, and for the obvious reason, it's such a premium position that they have their guy locked down for a good long time, and the ones that have lost their guy, such as Philadelphia and St. Louis, aren't looking for somebody for the next year or two. They're going to go right back in and find the next franchise left tackle for the next 10 years. I think what the Jaguars wanted, if I'm reading this correctly, is they wanted to know, going into this draft, they want to know that they have a guy that they can count on at left tackle, which really allows them to apply that best available player philosophy instead of having to go into the draft with the idea that we have to draft a tackle. They go into this draft, they don't have to draft a tackle. They've got their guy.
And, you know, and I think also, too, when you look at it, I mean, offensive line, it's a lot of technique, the issues that a lot of linemen mm-hmm. have to face, you know, coming in as a rookie. You know, it's kind of tough coming in as a rookie and having to start and having to deal with pass rushers that we have to face. And I'm an experienced player, and I've been around a lot for a long time, and, you know, I've seen pretty much every pass rusher that's in the game. So, you know, and I've already got my technique down, and I'm looking forward to learning more from the coach there. And you know, the learning curve isn't as great for me, you know, instead of with a rookie.
Bruce Matthews played at 40. Jackie Slater yes. played at 41.
Well, that's the name that came to mind. You said you wanted to play 20 years. The only guy that's done that is Jackie Slater.
That's right. That's the goal, man. I only have 9 more years.
How is your body?
I love it. Forever young, right?
How's your body held up, you know, so far in what has been a great career so far? How's your body held up?
My body's been doing very well. I've been extremely blessed to not have any serious injuries. I only had back surgery a couple years ago, and then other than that, that's been it. You know, I make sure I protect myself. I train extra hard in the off season. I wear braces in the games. You know, I'm not one of those type of players that just go out there and just have caught. I make sure I stretch. My preparation is on point. I push myself in the off season so that I can come in and have a healthy season.
Well, Trey, I'll tell you this: Trey has missed one game in the last 3 years.
Right.
Orlando Pace has missed 25.
Hey, Trey, tell us about putting your hand on the ground. I mean, this is an offense that's very different than you ran up there with Philadelphia. I mean, this is a team that, honest to goodness, smashed the ball with the run. Tell us about the transition that you think you're going to have to work through.
I don't think it's going to be that difficult for me because, I mean, just in Philadelphia, I did what I was supposed to do, and that was to pass protect. But if I come in and in Jacksonville and knowing that they're a run team, then that's where I'm going to pull from the coach so that he could teach me, you know, how to be a better run blocker and then also add in that pass protection there. You know, I think it'd be a great mix for me.
Well, making that change, offensive linemen love to run the football. You know, fourth quarter, you know, you get the grind guys out.
Not in Philadelphia.
Andy Reid obviously doesn't adhere to that philosophy.
I mean, we're going to air it out. We aired it out in Philly.
How frustrating was that as an offensive lineman that all of a sudden, you know, you've got, you know, a nice comfortable lead, but the ball is still going in the air?
I mean, that's just what we were used to. You know, it was frustrating, but, you know, we were used to it, so you just got down to your stands like, all right, here we go. You know, we're going to have a 7-step drop, even though we're up by 14, you know. So,
that's why the Jaguars. That's why the Jaguars beat the Eagles 2 years ago. It was 06, 2 years ago. They ran the ball and the Eagles couldn't.
Yeah.
Remember, it was a real windy day.
Yeah. It was always an issue for us, but you know, I'm glad to be here in Jacksonville. I'm very excited. I'm coming back up there this weekend. You know, to continue training with the team, and I'm just ready to go. I'm going to make sure I do everything in my power to be ready to go this season.
Did you live in Philadelphia your entire career there?
Yes. And I'm going to do the same here.
aren't you glad to be leaving Philadelphia?
You know what? I'm glad to be here in Jacksonville. You know, I initially wanted Philadelphia to keep me, but since they didn't, I was just glad to come back home and play back here in Florida. You know, I'm very happy to be here in Jacksonville. I can't say that I was just like, I'm just ready to get out of Philly because, you know, that's where I wanted, I've always been, you know, but I'm extremely excited to be here in Jacksonville.
I'm kind of having fun. Our producer sitting behind the board here, Trey, is Joe Fortunato, and he was, you know, born and raised in Philly. And I was kind of taking a little shot at Philly there just to get him kind of riled up.
I tell you what, I won't miss the cold, though. I would not miss the cold. Man.
What do you think of football players that hunt? You know, they're out killing animals. I mean, what do you think of guys like that? They got no culture. They got no sophistication.
I mean, you do what you like, you know.
He's trying to take a shot at me, Trey. Don't listen to a word he's saying. That's just Vic trying to stir the pot. Hey, Trey, welcome to Jacksonville, and look forward to meeting you in person.
All right, appreciate it.
And look forward to seeing you back out on the field, and most importantly, in the locker room, because this is obviously a team that wants your presence in that locker room. Is that something that they talk to you about as well?
Yes, and that's why I'm coming here. I'm coming in before the workouts start. I think our workouts are supposed to start in April. You know, I'm coming in next week so I could be around the guys and just start building a relationship with them, you know, and so we could just get ready to take this thing to the next level.
All right. Thank you, Trey, for spending the time, and look forward to meeting you.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Trey.
And that's Trey Thomas, Jaguars' future starting left tackle.
Told you you're going to like him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
But, you know, I wanted to ask the question because, you know, the response to me, I wanted to ask the question, can you still play?
Your question's right on.
And
John,
the reason why I wanted to ask it is because I wanted to hear the response. And did you notice the little bit of chippiness to the answer?
You angered him.
That's what I like. Because that, to me, means that he cares about his perception and his product that he puts on the field. Now, a guy that's just looking to take the money and rest on his laurels, oh, yeah, I can still play.
Do you want a scouting report on him?
I love the little bit of chippiness. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get your Vic Ketchman scouting report on starting left tackle Trey Thomas. More with Jaguars this week after this.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Back with Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman here, Jaguars This Week. And Vic, we were talking to Trey Thomas last break, and I asked the question to him, like I said before, can you still play in a straightforward fashion? Because I wanted to hear that edginess. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear if he had an edge. He had an edge. Mm-hmm. I like that. What's your scouting report on Trey Thomas?
That he played very well early in the year, and then late in the season his play fell off. He wasn't as good late in the year as he was early in the year, which is indicative usually of an older player, you know, that staying strong, maintaining their strength through the whole season is tough for them. They start to wear out. Now, I think what you're looking at here is a team that wants to put its finger, wants to identify a young left tackle, a tackle for the future, hopefully in the draft. And what Trey Thomas is going to be is the bridge between now and then. He's going to be the guy who's going to get this team from where it is now to its
long-term
left
solution.
Tackle of the future.
Yeah.
All right, whoever that guy is. And I think at that he's perfect. And not only because he's a high character guy, an intelligent guy, a great locker room guy, and an accomplished veteran who is durable and all those things. There's also another thing that makes him a great fit for the Jaguars, and that is his contract terms. They're very favorable.
Mm-hmm. The left tackle big signing bonus.
He didn't get a signing bonus.
He didn't get a signing bonus.
No. What he got was a 3-year deal with that'll pay him a base salary of $2.35 million this year. 1.5 of that is guaranteed. So he's getting his signing bonus in the form of $1.5 million of his salary being guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
but no signing bonus, all right?
Which is great for the team.
That's great for the team. Now, what's great for Trey is that his contract has a lot of incentives in it that can take his salary higher. And he's a guy who is fine with that because he has every reason to believe and every intention of meeting those incentives, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real good situation. You got a motivated player.
Players playing on incentives.
You got a motivated player
perform better
on a low risk contract, and that's, you see, it's the guaranteed portion that always defines the magnitude of a free agent signing. You know, last year Drayton Florence had a $12 million bonus. Actually, he had $13 million in guarantee, but $1 million of it was salary, so you weren't going to cut him anyhow. So let's just say $12 million. And Jerry Porter was $10 million. That's $22 million on two players. Well, in Sean Considine and in Trey Thomas, the Jaguars have only guaranteed $3 million.
Nice.
You see? So Trey Thomas is a big name, but not a big free agent signing.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Now, Sean Considine, we haven't talked much about him.
Another
Philadelphia Eagle,
big time special teams player, who the Jaguars hope and have hoped. Let's just say hope was hidden behind behind Brian Dawkins. In other words, he's got Brian Dawkins, one of the great strong safeties,
trying to find a Keaton McCardell as a safety. Maybe
He had one of the great strong safeties in the history of the game playing in front of him for all those years. So how was he going to crack the lineup?
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? So he played special teams. Hey,
and a good special teams player.
Donnie Shell played behind Glenn Edwards for a lot of years, but when he got his chance, he was pretty doggone good. Now, that's a guy I covered.
Yeah.
So you're hoping you get that kind of thing where all of a sudden Considine gets a chance to be a starting strong safety and he seizes the opportunity.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch. They got Brad Meester back. So you got Brad Meester, you got Vince Monowai returning from a knee. Hopefully that's going very well.
Mm-hmm.
A veteran proven guy and Trey Thomas at left tackle. You're going to get hopefully Mo Williams back.
He's all the way back. I talked to Mo and he says the biceps is
3-4 month recovery.
No issue.
Complete
at all.
Recovery. So
yeah.
It shouldn't be an issue. So you have him back and then hopefully you'll get obviously the right tackle Tony Pacheco's back playing at a little higher level. I thought he had an off year last year. And if you can get that production out of the offensive line, you got a chance.
Now you got a lot of ifs there, so you're not going to hit on all the ifs.
No, you won't. Right. But you can. There's still plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, March 11th,
mm-hmm.
and some big name people have been cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's necessarily over.
I think the Jaguars. I'm talking
big name people from other teams. So, and they're still coming available now. Orlando Pace was released this week.
Yeah.
And I would think that other names will become available, so other players will become available for the Jaguars to acquire throughout the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Still a long time between, you know, between now and April when the draft rolls around.
Mm-hmm. At this point in time, I think the plan is, I think they've maxed out the plan to sign free agents.
Before,
I think the plan was for two, and they got their two.
Before we go to break, Gene Smith, give me a grade. So far.
Oh, I'm just
as GM.
I am in love with what he's done, and I'm in love with the persona. I'm in love with the personality he's giving this team. You know, I say A+, but you know they haven't done a whole lot, so it's tough to give.
It's hard to give an A+ when the draft hasn't happened.
Exactly. So they haven't done a lot yet, but I mean, I just know this is the guy. They got the right guy. This is the way, in my opinion, it should be.
And I agree with you. A lot of respect for Gene Smith. All right, we come back. We got Sexton back in the mix running the show. And me and Vic Ketchman taking shots at Sexton when he comes back because he was doing some sewing here to get on TV just a few minutes ago.
Never.
What a talent he's acquired.
Ever.
Hey, you have to point it out. A button fell off, and I didn't take the pants off and still was able to sew the button on.
Glue. Very nice job. Very nice job. All right, we'll be back after this.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back now. About 22 minutes left in our program, and we now attack the real meat of the week, which is the Matt Jones situation. On Monday, as you know, he reported to jail in Washington County, Arkansas, for a probation violation. He was drinking beer the night before a drug test with some friends on the golf course, failed the drug
presumably.
Test. Presumably. Well, he admitted it. I mean, he had to the judge. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But he admitted to the judge he had a couple of beers, so he's in jail right now. So here's the question mark.
That's what I always tell my wife. I was drinking on the golf course, hon.
What do you do with him?
Why is drinking on a golf course okay, but, well, I was out with a bunch of guys falling down drunk all night. I mean, what is it about the golf course that makes alcohol more acceptable?
Well, it's not acceptable in his case because it was against the terms of his probation, bottom line. Right. I think what happens now is, and I don't know if this was happening before, but certainly the trade possibilities that may have been there gone now, maybe gone.
Well, they're going to have to do a twofer now.
If
and
that
Reggie,
was a possibility.
You know, they're going to have to put him and Reggie, you know, Reggie and Matt.
Because one's going to miss one half the season, the other's going to miss the other.
For an eighth round
I mean,
pick.
What a shame. I mean, you got Khalif Barnes, who you were hoping to get a compensatory pick out of if he signed somewhere. There has been no action with him so far. A visit to Oakland, they opted not to sign.
Do you know what happened in Oakland?
Well, I think the YouTube video is
coming back to haunt him.
Well, it's not coming back to haunt him. It's on there, and it's haunting. It's on YouTube, and it's hurting him.
So you have that, which is not helping the compensatory picks of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Sensabaugh had his third arrest in Kingsport, Tennessee.
He's got to get away from Buford Posser.
Who goes to Dallas on a one-year deal, which probably was minimum if it was a one-year deal. So I don't know if you're going to get much for him. And then Reggie Williams gets busted for marijuana.
2 hours after free agency starts.
I mean, these guys, I mean what in the
world? It's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible.
But here's the good thing. Ex-Jaguars.
Right.
Yeah.
Although Matt is not. And that brings us to the question, what is your approach right with Matt Jones at this point? You spent the offseason moving guys out who have been problems for you. And now you've got a guy, he's the sore thumb in that locker room.
So let me ask the question. Let me frame this question. You have, as you said, gone to great lengths and expense
right.
to send this message. Drayton Florence, Jerry Porter, Reggie Williams.
Khalif Barnes,
all right. Guys who were to believe were, you know, threatened that, you know, or helped cause that bad chemistry. And that's not something the media created. That was given to us by the head coach, by the players.
Players have said it.
You know, they said it. They volunteered it. Bad chemistry. All right, so this team has gotten rid of these people, brought back Brad Meester and Scott Starks, clearly a different ilk.
Right.
You know, good.
Yeah, good guys.
Guys.
And then you saw what they signed in Trey Thomas.
So now you've gone to this great expense.
And Sean Constantine.
$22 million of bonus money flushed down the drain on Drayton Florence and Jerry Porter to send a message to the fans and to all the players in that locker room that a new day has dawned. You know, we're not going to allow bad eggs. And now you're going to risk that message to make an exception?
No, they're not risking.
No, I can't.
It's just a matter of time. I mean, if you're going to get rid of them, try to get something for them.
I was playing devil's advocate.
But the problem with it is that when people talk about Matt Jones, there's that big neon sign over his head that says, possible league suspension.
Well, you know, my sense last fall...
He's already had one.
My sense last fall was that there were a lot of folks who were willing to give him a second chance. He was playing well. He was coming off of a bad year. He was giving effort, which we hadn't seen from him before. And then he just blew all of that goodwill away in Arkansas the night before.
Sorry, I'm not going to get on the effort train. I'm not buying that crap. Sorry. Well, I saw in Chicago... I saw a dog.
Okay, but up to that point, you'd have to admit he was fighting for yardage.
Yeah, early in the season.
All right, but that's what I'm saying.
Let's remember now, this we're talking about a guy who had a yards after the catch average of 1.1.
Okay, well, I think that there's something to be said for his overall ability for that, but I think you'd have to say that there were times last year where even you know, gave him a break.
In the game against the Steelers, he fought for a first down.
That's what I'm saying.
And we praised it.
He was there.
Late in the year, I wasn't seeing it.
All right, but I'm not making it up. There was effort there last year, and I think a lot of people saw it and were willing to give him a break, but not now. The sense I've got the last couple of days is that people want him gone.
Well, he was better than he's ever been last year, no doubt. Is he their best receiver? Maybe. But, you know, I go back to...
Oh, please, come on.
That's not saying a whole lot.
The receivers, it didn't get good here until he was gone and Northcutt stepped into the lineup.
But for the entire stretch of 2008, he was your best receiver. Okay, but let me. It popped into my mind when this kind of happened. Okay, Gene obviously takes over. Gene Smith, the new GM, mm-hmm. and he talks about improving the atmosphere, improving the locker room, and then I go back to the interview that you had with head coach Jack Del Rio at the combine, and. He talks about the interview process mm-hmm. with the prospective picks that are there at the combine. Mm-hmm. And do you remember what he said about the interview process? He says he wants players that just love ball.
Mm-hmm. He brought up one guy, singled out one guy in particular, undersized defensive tackle from Iowa named Mitch King.
Yep, and he kept talking about mm-hmm. players that love ball.
Okay, do you think Matt Jones loves ball? Then get him gone.
Because Matt Jones will tell you that football is not his first love. It's basketball. You never get the impression from watching Matt or talking to Matt that he loves ball.
You know, I'm
talking football.
Well, I've spoken.
It is what it is at this point.
Could you send a message by cutting him now and making some people happy? Sure. But are you doing the best thing for the franchise?
You can't trade him, Jeff.
I was just about to say, do you really think he has value?
I don't know. You got to find out.
Well, maybe they have.
You got to find out. Well, and I don't think you're going to be able to find out until the league responds.
Before this most recent incarceration, he was clean to come back and play. But now, what team is going to take the risk that they are going to trade for a guy who's going to be suspended?
But there's no known risk yet. Okay, and I think what happens here is that you need to find out from the league.
And you can. A team is allowed to ask the league, will his next violation result in a suspension?
But we won't know the answer. But that's what other teams are going to want to know the answer to.
That's only the drug policy. What about, we're talking now.
Code of conduct, absolutely. Personal conduct.
The teams are going to want to know the answer to that question before they even talk trade.
Who got suspended last year for a violation of personal conduct code? Come on, it was a big thing. Now it's
2 years ago, Jared Allen did. That was the biggest name.
Yeah, but last year there was a big one last year, and it's eluded me. But I mean, why would? And this is a draft, by the way, that is loaded with wide receivers who aren't first-round guys. Brian Rubisky, son of Terry Rubisky. He's groomed and ready to go. We're talking about the guy Georgia Massaqua is a very, very talented guy who didn't run real well. He'll slip in the draft, and you're going to get a real good player. The three kids from Penn State, one of them, Derek Williams, was an ultra-productive player there but ran horrible times. Okay, Hines Ward doesn't run well. Seems like he's done pretty well through his career. You know, this draft is loaded with wide receivers. I can't imagine anybody would trade for this guy.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now and return with more. One more segment of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Final segment here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Sexton, Logaman, Ketchman, Fortunato with you. Phone number 355-NFL1, though we haven't even gotten to them yet.
You know, I got to tell you, I got to burn my saddle on this now.
What you gotta got to burn one. About?
You know, this team is doing the get tough thing. And it's getting tough with everybody. I'm not even going to throw out names because we know all the names.
Right.
What is it about this guy that automatically everybody goes soft?
I don't think they're going to go soft.
Oh, that catch against Cleveland, that would have been a great catch. It would not have been a great catch. It was a catch that should have been made. And it was a catch that could have been made twice. And that was the game that ruined this team's season. I'm sorry. I want to see the same demands applied to this guy that are applied to everybody else.
Just my speculation is I don't think you'll see him in a Jaguars uniform this fall, and I don't think you think they will either. Well, I don't think anybody
I can't
do.
Imagine. I just can't imagine that happening.
355-NFL1. Let's get back to the draft here now. I mean, Andre Smith is plummeting down the board. Are there any offensive linemen?
Had a bad workout today, didn't he? Was it today?
Yeah. He ran 5'6", 4". 3, and it's 19
reps. 5'3" is not necessarily bad, but 19 reps is not all that good
for a run blocking, a power tackle. This is not a finesse tackle. This is not a pass blocking tackle. This is a power tackle.
The cone drill, though, is what most people would look at as cone drill numbers were not that great.
7.8.
None of his numbers were judged to be top 10 worthy. And there's still the thing about the exit in Indianapolis that, the kind of middle of the night, tell nobody exit. And that's what bothers people the most because that goes to disrespect of authority.
So now you got three things. The signing with an agent, I guess, where he got suspended from the bowl game.
Right.
The leaving the combine unannounced.
Right.
And then a very poor workout. After the combine, which you would expect players to have a better workout at that point because they've had more time
some other
to prepare.
Things.
I mean, those are just the three latest.
He's a shorter guy for a
6'4
tackle.
6'4 1/4 is what he came in at today. 325 pounds.
And he battles weight, has weight issues. And some people say he's more of a right tackle.
There's a lot of money flying out of his pocket.
Are any offensive tackles climbing?
Eugene Monroe is
near the top right now.
He's a top three, top four pick.
Has been.
Right, and he's the guy. Jason Smith, not here. I don't sense
he's a Philadelphia left tackle.
I don't sense that he's a two-point stance guy. I don't sense
he's
that he's valued
guy.
Here as he is in other places. I think he's overrated, big-time overrated. And the other tackle is Oher from Ole Miss. A wonderful story. You would like to see the Jaguars take him and then cheer for him. He's had overcome so much in his life. But, man, you're talking about $17 million here. You don't go for underdog stories when you're paying out $17 million.
Anyone else? I mean, any of those guys that
Yeah, the guy from Arizona, is it Britton?
Yeah, Eben Britton.
Yeah, in the second round.
So he's not climbing necessarily into the first.
He's climbed into the high into the second round, from what I understand. There's your guy. Was it Lodeholt?
That's a big kid from Oklahoma.
Doesn't have the feet for it. He's not a left tackle.
He's almost 6'9".
So it's the guy from Arizona or probably nobody.
Unless Monroe he's not going to be there.
No.
Yeah.
No, he's gone. He's a top three, top four pick. This team did a smart thing with Trey Thomas because what they did was they guaranteed that they have somebody with whom they can play at left tackle and they can stay with their BAP, their best available player philosophy, firmly on draft day.
So as you look at the positions with the most strength, right, mm-hmm. is that a running back at 8? Is that a – because I don't think there's a linebacker that's going to necessarily fit at 8. Now, Maluga's not climbed into the top 10 like people thought he would. Eric Curry is likely to be gone. The receiver that everyone talks about is Crabtree, but he's got that screw in his foot. People are wondering about him now.
B.J. Raji has character concerns. This is not a good year to be high. If this team could get out and trade down, do it. If they can't, I heartily endorse a quarterback.
If he's there.
The two guys up there, and I'm not so, Stafford is intriguing me. We don't have enough time to get into this. I think he's reminding me of Dan Marino.
But will he be there?
I'll be quick. Georgia was preseason number one, underachieved, right?
Right.
Pitt was preseason number one and underachieved when Marino was a senior. Marino fell. I get the sense that Stafford is falling. He could change all that with his pro day and that kind of stuff. But I wonder about him.
All right. Someone to keep your eye on. And also, obviously, you know the running back situation there. Beanie Wells is thought to be a top 10 pick.
The backs didn't run well.
Okay.
You don't know.
At this point, yeah. It's all speculation.
This is not a good year to be high.
You know, here's the one thing, though. Are you getting any kind of vibe as to the direction that they're going to go? None.
Not yet.
You like that?
Not yet.
You like that?
I will.
You hope.
This workout today was a big bummer for the Jaguars. Andre Smith is a guy they liked. I don't know if they can like him now.
Well, and I think what you would have liked to have had happen either for him to knock people's socks off or just to do okay, because if he knocks people's socks off, it pushes everybody else down.
Remember, Mike Shula recruited him. Mike Shula can vouch for his character. Mike Shula would have to take the responsibility of it, but he could do that if he knocked your socks off, knocked you up, you know, had an eye-popping workout, but he didn't. His workout today, in my opinion, is probably taking him off the board for the Jaguars at 8.
That'll do it for this evening, folks. Appreciate you tuning in. Talk to you next Wednesday night with Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.